Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 1st on the West Coast, now December the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, whether live or on an archive. We appreciate you tuning into the show and helping us get our message around the world. I have to say, recently it came to my attention that we have a lot of listeners in Europe, and we've had them in Great Britain, particularly in Ireland, which I find kind of interesting. And I was listening to some music today and thought, you know, I don't really play a whole lot of music from Great Britain. On occasion I do, but not as much, I think, as I would prefer to. Then again, this isn't exclusively a music show, unless I decide on the spur of the moment that it is going to be just music. But I thought I would bring forth a message from a very well-known bassist and singer. He used to perform with a group called The Police, and he just goes by a one-word name. This is from his album, The Soul Cages, All This Time, Sting.
City in the fog and an orchard's dry where the seagulls flee.
That's All This Time by Sting. That goes out to Doug in Ireland. Doug, you know who you are, and I appreciate all the hard work you do for Windtalkers Radio Network and getting Drew Rain's show out there. And I experience your work every Monday on Drew's show. And I thought, well, I'd gift you guys something to show you that we do have a little bit of culture here in America. Sting's music touches me personally because I was acquainted with his keyboardist, Kenny Kirkland. Kenny had performed with Branford Marsalis on the Tonight Show Band for a number of years. And I actually met Kenny when I was living and working in Europe and witnessed him and couple of other members of the original, the most recent, we'll say, in the mid-70s rhythm section from the Miles Davis Band. And Kenny, Tony Bunn, and Lorenda Featherstone, the three individuals I'm talking about who were playing with Miles Davis, went to Europe and recorded four albums in 6 days with Mikhail Urbaniak, Ursula Dujak, and a sax player from Poland by the name of Zbigniew Namyslowski. Some of the most fantastic music you could ever hear. In fact, there was another keyboardist, Harold Williams, playing with Mikhail at the same time. So I got to run into two guys that I knew pretty well. Kenny, Lorenda, and Tony, and I sort of just popped in at the Zurich Jazz Festival and actually did a whole set, totally unrehearsed, and you would have never known it. They were fantastic musicians. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, Kenny Kirkland passed away, and I was actually trying to get in touch with him when I found out that news. But he was really a gift to the world of keyboardists and synthesizer players, just a fabulous, fabulous musician. So it's no surprise that Sting would surround himself with similar musicians. Hopefully that brought you a bit outside the box, lifted your spirit. It's time now to bring on tonight's guest. He is a polymer chemist, a chemtrail opposition researcher, and even a musician, and he's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, as well as many other shows on the internet and even mainstream radio, my good friend, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and good evening to you, Don, and thanks for letting me tag along. That was really a wonderful journey you just took us on that we would have never have known. But, you know, your background just absolutely intrigues me, and it does, because you knew so many of those artists personally. I'm not trying to flatter you. You don't need that. But, I mean, just the ones that I know that you have and the ones that I don't know, it's fairly amazing, you know. And there you are. You're still kicking it. You're still kicking at it. And that's wonderful, Don. That's wonderful.
You know, I have a great appreciation for other people's music, and I have been very fortunate in my musical career to work with a lot of famous people at a very early age. So it's just part of, you know, my track record. What can I say?
Yeah, and then you still play music yourself now. You know, you still are involved in it. And I just think that one of these days, somehow, some way, I might muster up enough nerve, in fact, get my 12 string out, my Martin Sigma 12 string, and in fact play a few songs. These were written in 1983. One of them I love because it's a summer song, and it reminded me of the Gulf of Mexico and our endeavor to try to get down there. But the name of the song should have been recorded by the Beach Boys, but it was called Summer Sunset, Starlit Skies, and it's just such a rhythmic, beautiful song. Well, one of these days I'll share that with you, you know, but it is. It's just something that just brings back the spirit of the Gulf of Mexico, the ocean, you know, wherever it might be, even on the north shores of Wales, who knows. But it's just, It's the sound of summer. It's the sound of seagulls. And I got that all into a song. So I've only played that for a few people, but always been proud of it. I actually did play that for one of my granddaughters one time, and she was kind of intrigued with it as well. I don't think she picked it up, though. Anyways, I do appreciate your musical talents and the history that you have of keeping in touch with some of these people that, like the day we got into the discussion about where I'm located here in Ohio, and the people that you used to see on a routine basis doing gigs and stuff like that. All these fab blues people and rock and roll, I mean, of the era, 60s and 70s. You know, can I touch you? One of those things.
Are you working for TSA now?
No.
That's their new motto. Let's reach out and touch
you. Touch you. I did get a real chuckle off of that breaking news thing that you sent me. I really did. I was going to embed that with, yeah, look at his plastic badge. It says Nambala.
Well, what Dr. Mike is referring to, ladies and gentlemen, is a picture of Congressman Barney Frank working in a TSA line.
Down on his knees and groping.
The look on his face.
The caption was, he resigned his congressional, whatever he was doing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's too much of that anyways, but nonetheless, and decided to work.
Yeah.
I was just a ha-ha thing. But anyways, well, have you noticed, though, that all the stuff that's went on in these last just couple of days, Don, doesn't it seem to you like, I think we share a commonality of agreement on there are other beings amongst us. And in that commonality, it seems like they have this propensity to, they do things almost like on cue. They'll lie on cue. They'll get caught. Doesn't make any difference. Nobody says a thing. Like Bennett, Senator Bennett, in fact, on an open mic saying that he thinks this whole thing is rigged when they were talking about the Senate Bill 510 vote.
Mm-hmm.
I never, not a peep on the major news media, is not one. But, you know, it is rigged, you know, and Voinovich, you know, I think we agree of what his particular type of species sector is. It's not all completely human, but nonetheless, you've got all these beings that are supposed to be representing someone in Congress, because they certainly don't represent me, or the Senate, but it just seemed like they're swarming. I don't know what it is. It's just like they're swarming. They're just to create chaos, pockets of chaos everywhere. If it's not the TSA, well, it's North Korea. If it's not North Korea, it's something that somebody else is doing at the White House. It's just one boom right after the other. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that or not. I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. I've spoken about that this week. In fact, I'm rather pleased to hear some other talk show hosts chime in that this WikiLeaks thing is nothing but a CIA psyop on everybody.
Yes.
And
right.
And this alleged missile launching during this $200 million a day foray into Southeast Asia. All of these are diversions just to keep our minds off of what's really going on, as if something big is being accomplished.
Well, but it's also the PSYOP part of it. Look how long ago they planted that WikiLeaks thing. The first bunch of them got out, and then there was all this whispering, all this talking, you know. And then they, in fact, on cue, turned on this guy, and in fact, he's responsible for all these bad things about all these people in the government, in fact, talking. And by the way, these were cables, not internet, but I understand they were cables. You see how they communicate? They don't communicate with the internet or the phone. They use cables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the cables, in fact,
it's if the cables aren't cut.
but they, in fact, had put out this information that Oh yeah, well, he took out this particular who the people were that in fact allegedly said this or said that about this country or that person over there or whatever. They take out all that. But what it does, and I heard it 3 days ago, I've heard this. You know what? He should be, and CNN was the first to say it that I heard. You know, he should be arrested for treason and executed. How dare him talk about government and officials? And so, see, there's the embedment of the psychotronic.
Mm-hmm.
Become, you know, get the sheeple enraged enough to, in fact, just demand that something be done with this Julian, whatever his last name is. Just, I mean, as an example, how dare you, in fact, divulge government secrets? How dare you, in fact, talk bad about the government? See, it's the same paradigm. It's the same vacuum box that they're trying to suck everybody into. And the media plays along just as if they were orchestrated, trying to herd the opinion of most people. How dare you talk about against the government in any way, shape, or form, or these agencies, whatever. It's the same mentality. They, in fact, try to ruin creative thinking, open mind thinking, or anything that diverts from where they want to take you. And that's the precedence. Okay, well, we've got to shut down the internet because of that. And I heard many other talk shows talking about the same topic. Absolutely right. That was their intention to begin with. But they took many, many months, in fact, in planning this out and setting this guy up and designing his persona to do this today. And there's no question in my mind or millions of others that this guy, in fact, is a operative. He's nothing but a psyop. The whole thing is nothing but a psyop.
Yeah, I think the name they've given him is Julian Assange. Is that it? Massage without the M. In other words.
Assange. Okay, that's a good way to remember it.
Well, you know, it rings like a word you've heard before.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I thought, I was thinking, wasn't it Zionisky?
Of course, the word passage in French, or passage, you know, with the P. No, I think it was the M word they were implying. It's just so ridiculous, the whole thing. Well, you know, and who's going to go to that website and read 250,000 documents? I mean, that's what they're saying there is there. And how does an individual come across those documents?
Well, yeah, and what was in those cables, all that stuff, in fact, was more or less trash anyways. I mean, it was. There wasn't anything beneficial to read or to know.
You know,
it got a lot of people in trouble. Good, good, good. I mean, I just love it when someone within the framework of and structure of this called the Gov or an agency really gets in trouble. But you notice that's not happened?
Yeah.
Not one word was said. It's just all focused on this person that released that information.
Yeah.
That's what we got to stop. We got to stop. Now, if we keep releasing information, they'll use that as a critical example of why they've got to shut down the internet, why they've got to shut us up, quit talking about this stuff. And they'll use any means they can. That's what I meant by swarming.
Yeah,
that's
but they're the ones that brought it up in the first place, so. that's the thing we keep forgetting.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Of course.
If I were to make an educated guess, I would say that all these documents came from Osama bin Laden's blue notebook. You know, we talk about Tesla's blue notebook all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But sort of speak there.
Wow. When he was in the cave, he done this. Yeah, off that laptop he had.
When he wasn't busy taking customer service calls for Microsoft. Hello, this is Tim Osman here throughout you.
George Carlin, where are you at? Well, anyways, so much for that. But no, the show last night with Chris, I also got a lot out of that, and True Op being on the show Monday.
Now, we have to say Christopher, actually, he's referring to Christopher Holmes, PhD. So, yes, he prefers to be called Christopher. So,
very very intelligent person, and he did go through a dissertation on how they virtually, at academia, shut him down to shut him up. Mm-hmm. And he had a very, very good thing going there with being able to get people to look into themselves. Oh, don't do that. Don't look into yourself. I mean, you see how that rattled their cage? It really rattled their cage when anything goes out of their paradigm of the societal engineering that they put in front of you. And that happens every single day if you're associative with anything at academia, especially if you're in any programs that, in fact, that you're going to make public contact or be part of the public, what we call the public, from that point on. They embed this stuff so much. Then they get you hooked on you're only going to make money off of writing pharmaceutical drugs, giving shots. It's all contrived. It's all part of what they do. I'm just wondering what is going to happen. There are no medical doctors that know how to give personal care without their list of drugs. And most of those, in fact, are now, most of them have been banned or are very suspect. I mean, the labels on them, they had to put those extender boards on them so they could get all the warnings on, you know.
They call side effects.
This side and that side and the bottom and the top and everything. So, I got a lot of what Christopher said last night. Makes one think, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to encourage people to think, and as you always say, outside of the box. Well, I'm not really certain this is a box anymore. I think this is a cave. Box has got four corners. This place, you can go to any of these corners and you can't escape this unless you go out the top of it. So, I think that's good talk. I did have a good time last night on the show with Melody, Salida, Colorado, on a broadcast. That was my first time on there. I were able to discuss quite a few things. But it's just really hard to fast forward some of that stuff because Dr. Carlstrom, in fact, wanted to talk about chemtrails. He's the one that contacted me originally. Now, he's a professor, and he, in fact, tells his students a lot of the experiences that he's had with the people that he meets on these radio interviews and things of that nature. But, boy, did I ever take off the gloves last night because I was ready to talk to people on the free air about things that that they probably haven't heard yet, but they've heard a lot of other people talk about somewhat the same thing. So it's good, in fact, when you know your efforts, in fact, are worthy, and it does make a difference just to get people to open up their minds, not really hammering. You know, of course, I repeated my call that they take down the Ohio EPA and all EPAs, if for that matter, but let's just say start since I'm here, the DNR and the regional and the federal, because there's just so many reasons that we can, in fact, use against them in gross, extreme negligence. It's criminal negligence in what they've, in fact, done in the last decade alone. Pick a state, and in fact, they completely ignore any call for the chemtrails to be investigated or for some of the problems that are caused by them. So anyways, there's just gross negligence because none of them, in fact, will do anything to enforce the law of the land. And the only one you can speak of is the Clean Air Act of 1990 and as it was amended.
Well, this is being done all over the world. So this excuse that this is a national security issue is a bunch of bunk. There.
Oh, it certainly is.
It extends past our national borders into international territories. Virtually mm-hmm. around the world, this is going on and has been for a number of years.
Correct.
And the denial that it's happening is the first lie. I mean, how stupid do they think we are?
Fairly stupid. Because they just think that we'll just buy into it because there's so many players in this. If you're involved in an agency and, in fact, you've got anything, and I could go through the litany of ABCs and it doesn't make any difference, but even down to the county level, they've got, in fact, their minions, in fact, assuring the the public that there's no problem. Even the U.S. Air Force, in fact, will summarily send you a letter telling you what a hoax this is. Now, this is the Air Force of the current era. That's the only thing I can describe them as. But you, when you have that type of oppressive tyranny that are poisoning you on a routine basis, something's really, really wrong with this world. And it just seemed like even the international, the worldly governments, in fact, all have subscribed to this. You've got this convention down there. You've got this conference down there going on in Cancun. What an absolute, I don't know how to describe that. You know, what a joke, if nothing else, what a joke. But they're going to, in fact, continue to push this until they think they've got a piece of paper that says, oh, yeah, see, now you guys, in fact, have to cut your emissions. Now you can't, in fact, grow your own food. You got to, in fact, conscribe all this stuff. You've got no choice. And I can't scream hokahay loud enough. But all this is going on. It's just like they're swarming, I swear. And I know why they're doing that, Don. It's because of voices such as your own, True Ott, myself, so many, not to just generate a short list, but there's so many voices of resistance out there. Mm-hmm. And I would just presume that over in these other countries that you spoke of, there's also that resistance and
going on.
Non-compliance.
Yeah, right now in Europe, I mean, there's rioting that's been going on in London and elsewhere in Great Britain, France, Greece, Iceland. People are standing up to all of this oppression, and of course, our mainstream media, which is nothing but a propaganda tool and propaganda mouthpiece, is not reporting it here. So the average individual is unaware that it's going on. It really doesn't matter because they don't see the chemtrails.
Right.
You know, I think you'd find this interesting tonight. We didn't really plan on a particular topic. And see, we're already talking about chemtrails and the secrecy. You know, the word secret is a very interesting word. If you look at the psychology behind that word secret, it's something really which is sort of a dichotomy of itself. A secret, as my computer dictionary says, is not known or seen, or not meant to be known or seen by others. If you want to keep chemtrails secret, don't spray them, it would seem to me. And then we wouldn't be able to see them, right? We wouldn't know they were being sprayed, other than if everyone was still getting sick and we suspected that there was something in the air, in the sky, in the atmosphere that was poisoning us. We have the luxury of being able to see the plumes that they spray, and yet they go on. There's a secret mission to save the ozone layer, or this is the new spin that's coming out. And I've raised this question, what do red and white blood cells have to do with saving the ozone layer? Or preventing global warming or anything of that nature? Or the multiple types of bacteria that they're putting in chemtrails. But this word secret, if you consider the word, at what point is a secret not a secret? I think it begins with one person, and as soon as that person tells another person, it's no longer a secret.
Right.
It stops being a secret at that point. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't attempt to not tell others, but they give everyone top secret security clearance, or secret security clearance, which is below top secret. So now we have these classifications of secrets. These are secrets that are not to be known by certain people and to be known by others. Well, are they secrets when they're known? I would say not. But this whole thing of, you know, this is national security. There is no such thing as national security. Corporate security seems to be what's prevalent.
Right.
That's what everybody's facing is corporate security, especially at airports or on the streets, just going about town, conducting your daily business. And this word secret somehow is a word that implies that there is a truth to be discovered, but discovering it is not a privilege or it's not a gift. In other words, we're supposed to selectively shut off our discernment when we discover a truth which is being masked behind the word secret or the word secrecy. It's insane, really, when you think about it.
Well, yeah. Somebody starts to say something and somebody else takes and slaps a label on and says, secret, can't talk about that.
You're not supposed to talk about that. That's a secret.
Yeah, that's secret.
Oh. So now we know now that this word has a special classification. So therefore, if there's energy coming to the earth, for instance, that's raising the consciousness, the mean consciousness of the planet and all the living things on it, that's a secret. We're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to know that. Well, where do you draw the line as to what's to be known and what's not to be known? What's to be shared and what's to be compartmentalized or hoarded for ulterior motives? You know, it's insane.
Somewhere between 0 point and nothing.
You know,
that's where you draw the line.
Yeah, the Beatles had a song that started, "Listen, do you want to know a secret?" Right? Right away, they're disclosing the secret in the song. Okay, so it never was a secret. But you see, there's this implication that when you hear a secret, you know something that someone else doesn't know. And
but you got somebody telling you.
Yeah, exactly. now it's very easy to leak secrets that are not true. You see, lies.
same thing. Sure.
That's what the media does. Okay, when we reveal a truth, they have to attack the truth because amongst themselves that truth is a secret. You see, we're not supposed to know these things. Somehow there's, they don't pass out the actual libretto for truth and lies and secrets. And which ones can be talked about and which ones can't. Well, I guess it's for us to find out.
That's what you get for watching the media, huh? Or listening to those voices of malfeasance and nothing but lies. They're not spin, it's lies.
Oh, yeah.
It's not spin. That's the proper word for it. That's the English word for it, is a lie.
Yeah.
So, and when the secrets for national security and the chemtrails, go back to that for a second, it's not only my opinion, but we do have a lot of evidence that shows that they've even changed them so you can't see them anymore. They become no-see-ums. Matter of fact, they become colorants in the sky. But you think that the skies are clear. But that's a secret until you're able to prove otherwise. But what they're putting into the atmosphere now, into the breathable air column, is virtually more toxic to the human. Anything that's got a brain, because they're using a very large doping of manganese and arsenic. And you take that and you consider the functions of the human body and how they utilize those as contaminants or even nutrients in trace amounts. When it gets beyond that point, there's been very brilliant people that have studied this, such as Dr. Purdey over in the United Kingdom in 1999. And I started communicating with him in 2001. And it's very clear that it, in fact, is responsible for the baseline for the prion disease. It makes the human body misfold the proteinaceous, the protein. And in fact, that is the root cause. Plus, they've got this attached to a fluoride. You just can't get any more maniacal than this, but that's what they've done. Okay, but can we prove that? Certainly we can prove that. We can prove that they, in fact, have used these. But then again, get somebody to own up to it. But here's the point. Why, in fact, are we pursuing debate on it? Like the geoengineers try to debate all this stuff. These people are corrupt. They are so insane corrupt, it just doesn't even have a magnitude of order to describe how their brains must work. They are really ate up. So I, in fact, just assign them a certain compartment. In my mind, they're not really human. They're not. They, in fact, are almost like they're autotrons, like they're controlled. They seem normal. I don't know how they can wear those rubber masks all the time and look human, but nonetheless, Hillary Clinton's got a real problem, you know. I don't see how she keeps that on as much as she does. Well, but I see that they touch it up every once in a while. They must have used a good antioxidant in that mask. Yeah. Rubber masks don't wrinkle.
Well, I would have loved to have had the time last night to open up this discussion a bit with Christopher Holmes just because of his insights into these things. But, you know, we the essence of what we talked about was G.I. Gurdjieff's exhortations to mankind to really learn the existence of the I, to develop the I aspect of who we are, our individuality, and with it all the knowledge and all the power that comes with it. And that's something that's attacked on a regular basis as well, is this pursuit of higher knowledge. It's not mm-hmm. taught in the schools. It may be taught to an extent in secret societies, but they use it for nefarious purposes anyway. So mm-hmm. they take the universal truths and they apply the opposites all the time because they're not about promoting the creation or aligning themselves with the creation. They want an opposite result. And as a result of that, this secrecy or this demand for secrecy on certain issues is nothing but a hoodwinking of the public. It's the prevention of or the attempt to prevent people to recognize the truth in all things, not just a couple of things, but in all things. And it actually, that word secret in its Latin form means to separate or set apart. Isn't that interesting? It's mm-hmm. another way to divide the human consciousness or to compartmentalize it. And so when we talk about this is going on and that's going on, and why are they releasing certain information? Why are they not releasing it? Well, it's all because of secrets. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to use mm-hmm. a pun to see that they're lying. It really doesn't. Now, that's also an expression of their fear. The very idea that things have to be secret mm-hmm. at any time on this planet shows that they have malintent. Those that lead others to the truth are about sharing the truth, not about compartmentalizing it. Now, there may be circumstances where you don't give out certain information to protect the lives of certain individuals, but that's to protect those individuals from those that would have secrets against them, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
Well, for virtually all of our lives, in fact, we've never been looked at in learning about I, we've always, in fact, been supplemented with me. It's just me. You're special. You will be allowed to know these secrets, like Demolé. Take a swat at that. Demolé. I visit some of these places, some of these IO. I used to do environmental assessments for years and years, and I can tell you I've at least done five or more of those IOOF lodges. Boy, you talk about creepy places. Glad I didn't know as much about them back then as I know now. I probably wouldn't go in them. But I remember going into one in Connersville, Indiana, because somebody who was a member of Elks or one of those weird, I'm going to call them at this point weird because I don't understand them. I don't understand what they're all about. But there's one thing that I remembered. They would talk low in this special chamber. We're not supposed to be in here. And I looked at this guy that was taking me through this, and I said, well, is there somebody in here listening or what? Well, no. And he said, but he's like being respectful. I mean, what if spirits, I guess? I don't know. But I never subscribed to none of that stuff. But they had their secrets. That they were revealed secrets in these societies. Of course, I don't need to talk to you about secret societies. You can probably wrote the book about it. But it's just the intimation that all these things that we've been given, like the opportunity to, in fact, be a part of these secret societies, and the secrets will be revealed to you. That's all marketing. It's got nothing to do with squat. It's all marketing. You know, be a part of our club. Give us your money. Play in our events. Come to our raffles. Our dances. We have a dance every third Monday of the month. We have a great blast. We drink alcohol. We just have just all kinds of really good things. But it's all a matter of training, because you become engrossed with that. That's the only thing you can think about that runs your life, as opposed to, in fact, thinking about something that really drives your passion. Go back to the things that, in fact, really intrigue you personally. I've always pursued the things that turn me on first. I've always been inventing things. I got my first U.S. patent in 1976. I was virtually a kid chemist, but I remember the passion I had at finding a way of reclaiming cast polyurethane. Well, that was my first U.S. patent, and I'd work late at night by myself in this industrial laboratory over there in Ohio. But in the night that I, in fact, had made the observation that, no, this is no longer a thermoset material. It actually exhibits thermoplasticity via this devulcanization process that I didn't invent anything. I just observed it, because the key to the devulcanization was the appropriate use of a certain alcohol and water. And that was it. But you had to apply a lot of mechanical pressure to it. But see, that was my passion. Then I went on to develop rubber to metal bonding agents, and they were all in water. They were not in organic solvents. And I was very successful with that. And then into the fabric bonding, same thing. I just had this drive, and I always kept my mind on it. So when I went off onto my own at the end of the 80s, in fact, into my own business. I've always operated as Castle Concepts, all the way back to 1981. We got involved in the Amway business, and I loved that. You know, we climbed quite high in that organization. I'm still, in fact, participating with people, but I'm no longer a distributor. But I watch it from afar. They've got good products. They've got some very unique things, and they do things right. It's always been something that I've kept myself engrossed in. Now it's research. And then in the year 1998, 99, in fact, I came across this thing called chemtrails from my own observations, being a pilot. And then, I heard somebody on the radio, Art Bell, one night talked about it. It was Will Thomas. Well, I had no intention whatsoever of jumping in this, but I'm thinking this is coincides very, very uniquely with the things I've been seeing myself, and I thought I knew everything that there was to know about aircraft, who flies them, what kind of airways they fly. They fly Victor Airways. They fly Instrument Rate. I knew all that stuff. I knew how to, in fact, fly and still do, you know, from an instrument schematic, if you will, and coming into an airport. Well, then these, in fact, were just aberrant. They made no sense whatsoever. In the patterns that they made, what the heck are those coming out of this? It certainly isn't contrails because of the problems with ice crystals staying in the air that long and then just spreading out like a piece of frying bacon, you know? I was just amazed at how they done it.
In 120-degree weather, you know?
But it's always been my passion to be focused on something. And then this thing stuck with the chemtrails. And so there I am today. And see, I had developed the AmeriHAS and all those things back in the between 1995 and the year 1997, 98, and many other things as well. But I kept myself busy developing things that were sustainable, and I called them sustainable technologies, which was the name of my company at the time. But we still had Castle Concepts over here as an environmental consultant. So what I'm saying is I've always kept myself plugged in because I didn't subscribe to all these other things where everybody seemed to congregate and, in fact, find that, oh, you got to be a man around the town. They got to know your name at the local, all the bankers. Well, they were mostly my clients. I couldn't stand them anyways. But I mean, small business associations, manufacturer association, no. I had said what I had to say, but they weren't willing to listen about the chemical pollution and the atrocities that they were involved with by putting out some of their products, which were horribly toxic to the humans, but it did not make a difference. It's just that was the cheapest way to make the largest amount of margin. So anyways, in my case, I've always focused on I, but not had an ego in that regard. I didn't focus on me. I focused on I.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be a major...
You're the same way.
Yeah. It's a major part of the world's problem is that people have forgotten who they are over many generations.
That's right.
And, you know, it's my hope, my intention that this show brings people to a realization that they're more powerful than what they're being told, and that the leader that they're looking for is within them. They are that leader.
That's right.
And as soon as one discovers that, And it really sinks into their consciousness and manifests itself in their life, then they immediately recognize the same connection with others, regardless of their top secret status.
You know? Yeah. Go back to the secrets. And you know, Don, if all would in fact just try to practice that, practice thinking about... When you were at your pinnacle, when you were at your prime, in other words, maybe a long time ago, like myself, I think of the days that, in fact, I was standing up there on stage. You've done the same thing. And I'm playing my Hagstrand Impala lead guitar. And we've got all these people that are just enjoying it like you would not believe. They're enjoying this. Well, there weren't such things as rock stars back then. I didn't know what that was, but I just knew that I learned how to play guitar, and I played it well, and I always played lead. But I'm a good rhythm player, too. But, you know, I'm thinking of the days as I was in the U.S. Coast Guard, and I'm just thinking of the times that I was the only guy that got through boot camp with just 10 demerits, and I got those because I was right guide on, and the company commander, in fact, the very last day of graduation, we're getting ready to leave, and he said, come on in here, Castle. And he said, I understand you've got no demerits. And I said, sir, yes, sir. He said, well, you got 10 now. He said, because no one leaves my forming company without demerits. So he gave me 10 demerits because I was standing right in front of him all the time. He never seen me. And, of course, who was behind me? These guys that were 6'5 and taller. True Lot was standing behind me. Those kind of guys, just huge, massive guys. But I was the right guide on. But, see, I think of those times of being something where did I achieve something there? Well, not really, but in a way I did. But think of the times that when you, in fact, were really on a roll. That's who you are. Just, in fact, pull yourself back into that spirit. And you know, not when you were in college and, you know, freshman through junior, in fact, party, 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 party. No, I'm not talking about that stuff. You can if you want to. If those were very enjoyable times, you've actually done something with your life, yeah. But if you've got yourself into this morass of this groove, and you just follow, you're following something through this groove, and there's something on the other end pulling that chain, and it's called the matrix. You can, in fact, escape that just by thinking your own mind, thinking your own heart. Look at the stuff that you, Don Nikoloff, have told me about the universe. I had no idea that there was anybody on the face of this earth that, in fact, could explain that in such a convincing detail that it led me to this one pinnacle and point. God created the universe. And he created man. He created human, the surface populace, the surface people. He created us. So, of course, the universe is populated by humans made in his image kind. Of course. You're the one that led me to that. Even though if someone else, if I'd read that in a book or something, I probably wouldn't have believed it. But I've listened very closely to the, let's just say places more than anything. You've talked about General Jeremiah. I am a respecter of that man because I see what he's doing. But I can only hear what he's doing. I can't see what he's doing. But he's here on, call it a mission, if you will. But at the same time, they're not to intercede. But, and again, if we need their help, I know that in fact, they're able to do that. And they have, even with the chemtrails. I'm very interested in what they're finding. Yeah. Validation? Yeah. Validation. But, see, once you pick up these things, it becomes something that you can put under your belt, that you were on the right track the whole time. It's the way I've always done things. Observational analysis, and it's my summation, not someone else's convincing me that it exists. So the entire universe is populated by human made in his image kind, not these pseudo subset humans, which are also here in our midst, and they're hybrids of ET, and they've come from under the ground, and they're swarming. They come from everywhere. But the difference is they cannot love. They always lie, and that's their signature. And they love money. Well, that's one thing they do love, is they lust for money. No, love it. They lust for it.
There is an understanding by those malevolent beings out there, whether they're of demonic origin or they're influenced by demonic entities, or they create them, or they summon them, or they're void
somehow,
the weight of them, and also spiritual essence, because they have constructed a reality, a belief system. Does not mean that is the hierarchy, or the top rung of the ladder of consciousness, and the very fact that everything they have to do is in secrecy, born out of fear of getting caught, that they have to superimpose that upon us.
Yeah,
we
what's
don't
that?
Have to accept that. You know, this is a free will universe, and it's allowed to occur because it is a free will universe.
Absolutely. I'll put that word in there where it belongs.
You know, but that does not give them the right to impinge upon the free will and the sovereignty of other beings. It's a simple fact.
Correct. That's why it sounds as though the galaxy of Hendon and the 575 other planets that are Christian, they seem to be able to get along because they don't have these other beings in their midst. It won't be long that, in fact, we will, in fact, be devoid of these beings, whether it's their demonic possession, whether it's their soullessness that, in fact, that's been occupied by that. I really don't give a hang. I just know one thing. You can ignore them. You can ignore them if you just start focusing on you, the I, not the me.
Yes, exactly. You know, there's a song that I'd like to play, and I know that this will, you know, we're entering the Christmas season right now. We have snow in Ohio, so winter is hitting Ohio, and it's hit some other states pretty profoundly in right. Snowfall amounts. I mean, we've got a trace of snow, but we're in that festive spirit. But there's a song that was recorded by Larry Carlton, guitar player. I know how much you like guitar. Mm-hmm. And his significant other actually sang this song. I like to share it because it's got a spiritual message. It's not the run-of-the-mill Christmas song. It's called Ringing the Bells of Christmas.
It's raining in December on the freeway going home. People feeling tired and alone. But when I the carols are on the radio. When I hear their voices loud and strong, I know it's not too late to sing along. Sometimes we forget how much it's worth. It's time we reconsider what we put last and we put first. Remember who we are and why we're here. Let's send up a thank you message loud and it's just
You know, Dr. Mike, there were no secrets in that song, were there? In fact, that touched upon all the key points of what you and I were talking about for the past hour.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And just having the feeling of Christmas, we've been through it so many times. Look at the memories that we do have. I'm certain that most, in fact, have very warm, good memories about Christmas. Seem like they've been diluted a lot in so many years.
Diluted or deluded?
Yes. But the,
I'm asking. You said yes to both.
I know. I was going to say, you got any Johnny Lang there? Or Jeff Beck? But the feeling of the Christmas, the spirit, and what it is, we know that. We know that was the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. If you can just imagine, just for a moment, walking up onto the manger and just experiencing that radiance of love that must have came from that manger at that moment. That's what the spirit of Christmas is. It's the love. It's not what you're going to buy down to a department store for somebody else. Okay. It's the love. It's giving that love, and it's the memories of those good, warm times.
Even his birth date has been a matter of secrecy, you know, when you think about it. Certainly December 25th is not his birth date, but we should be thankful that there is a day that it's actually celebrated. But that, you know, December 25th is nothing more than a pagan, now corporate holiday.
Right.
Is all it is. It's about buying and spending money. It's about money. And it's, you know, to most people, it has nothing to do with the message that was in this song. And that's a very original presentation of the concept. But Larry Carlton himself was nearly murdered answering his door, probably an MKUltra crazy man, decided that he was going to stab him when he answered the door. And he clung to life by a thread. So we were very blessed that he made it through that difficult time. And, of course, there were a lot of people praying for him when that happened. And he's created some of his best music ever since. He came to a full appreciation and understanding of why he was here and what his role is to be on this planet.
That's it. When you bring yourself back down to I, mm-hmm. and I didn't recall the person's name that Christopher Holmes was talking about. You mentioned it earlier.
We were talking about George Ivanovich Gurdjieff's
Gurdjieff. Yeah.
Yes. Tales. Beelzebub's tales to his grandson. And it's the story of man, really, and man's fall, man's earning his spirit. You know, we have movies like It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. and there's Clarence, this angel, this guardian angel that comes down to help George, George Bailey, I believe his name was in the movie, Jimmy Stewart, some will recognize mm-hmm. him better as, to come to a realization that life is meaningful when you realize how you impact others' lives. Now, that can be a positive thing. That can be a blessing. And it's such a feel-good movie. You know, you have that warm and fuzzy feeling throughout the movie, especially at the end when mm-hmm. the whole town comes together. And you know, it doesn't matter what the name of the town is or was or would be, call it Hooterville for that all it man. but that people would come together to aid one individual who actually was wronged. You know, the downfall of the bank that he was managing fell upon the shoulders of his brother, who lost a deposit in a folded up newspaper. And the village bad guy, who was Lionel Barrymore, kept that money for himself, knowing that the bank would be destroyed and people would lose their homes and he could take over all the property. Isn't it interesting that we're actually experiencing the same thing today? Now, they didn't have chemtrails in those days. So they didn't talk about chemtrails or vaccines or all the drugs and the outrageous prices of oil and all of these things. Everything being done on this planet is to crush the spirit of humanity.
Right.
And all we have to do is open our hearts and give thanks to God for the gift of life and proclaim that we will be inspired by him and awakened so that we can remember this thing about the I am and who we are. And then we can live a life with a purpose. And the purpose will be one that we dictate, not one that's dictated to us.
That's my Christmas wish for everybody.
I know enough about God to know that that is our birthright.
It is. And it is our birthright.
That is what we should be pursuing. So any closing comments that you'd like to make, Dr. Mike?
Only to those that I have in my prayers every night, I ask the good Lord, in fact, to look over those who looks like they're going to be losing their benefits. I just want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about the money. You will survive. There will be a way. It will be warmer, even though it's getting colder outside. There will be a way. All you have to do is just say a prayer and say it to yourself, but let it come from your heart, not your mouth. Let it come from your heart, not your brain. Just say a simple prayer that your lives will be better and ask to be sustained. There's no magic words because God doesn't believe in magic. But it's just a way of being able to know that if you don't have money coming in, if you don't have this money, I mean, we're all almost in the same situation. Of course, you never have enough money. I mean, there were those days, in fact, when I used to think like that. But whatever I have, oh, am I thankful for it. Well, should you give it to somebody? If you'd like to, because it's been said many a time that if you give something, some or other, it's just multiplied. So do what you want, but just make sure it's what you feel in your heart that you should do. What is your mission? What is I going to, what are you going to do? And not me. What are you going to give me? No, I do appreciate that temperament, if you will, Don, and Christopher bringing that up, because that's a very, very wholesome discussion right now, because it goes so much into the spirituality side of things without bringing religion into it. You know, it there's two things totally different, but actually it's the same thing. Not religion, spirituality.
Yeah. Well, I can say definitively and with authority that anyone who's ever accomplished that, the knowing of the I and moving into any above average amount of consciousness, and we're talking about consciousness with the big C, not the little C. this all pervading knowing about the reality of life and what's illusion and what really matters, and what you just said about money is very true, because what people are really seeking is abundance. They may not recognize it as such. All the different ways that we can be abundant in health, in our relationships, in our creativity, which is the way we honor the creation. And all these things move us upward, and they move us to a higher vibration. the things that we chase that are temporal are the things that lead us to our downfall. Literally, they are of a lower vibration. They exist for a certain amount of time, as long as they serve a particular purpose, and those things fall away. Again, they fall. Mm-hmm. They don't rise. They don't rise in frequency. They cease to exist because they serve no purpose. And I don't know if I'm making sense because it's such a deep topic.
And since we were talking about other places in Hendon, the galaxy of Hendon, I believe this is what they've achieved through there, because as I understand, they're human, made in his image kind. And of course, there's all types, there's varying races, I'm certain of that. But at the same time, they've achieved this higher in level of consciousness. And that's the only word that can be put in there, because they're not equating their abundance by the sign of the serpent. Well, if I got a lot of money, then I'm really wealthy. Oh, no. No, that's just exactly the opposite of that to be true. You only think that that is, you can have stacks of gold and 50s and everything else. You're not really wealthy, because there's somebody that's going to come and take some of that from you because they believe it's theirs. So, but if you're wealthy in your health, as long as you stay off of pharmaceutical drugs, you will be maintained like that. But again, prayer. I found out that prayer, in fact, maintains your health better and keeps you away from this stuff more than anything. And all you have to do, in fact, is ask that you be protected, and your family and your loved ones.
Yeah.
It works 100% of the time. I'm a chemist, and I know that you can't get 1,000% out of anything. It's 100%. So anyways, Don, I'm probably venturing a little bit by saying I'll probably be back on your show again yet here in December, but if I'm not, I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and its season.
Well, that's blessing for those that won't be tuning in the rest of the month, because you'll be on again. So,
okay.
Well said. I want to add to what you just said, because I think about the reality of visitors from other parts of our galaxy here, and they have found a common ground. They have found a way to peacefully join together for a common purpose, and they have taken a great interest in what is going on here on the Earth, because the universe is constantly undergoing change, and they have a vested interest in that. The outcome of the current turmoil on the planet should not, or will not, as far as they're concerned, play a role in altering their reality in a negative way. And they hear people's prayers. They pray for us as well. They don't just pray for themselves. They have such an understanding of the importance of praying for everyone. I would presume to some extent that they pray for those who are of the evil species on this planet right now. It's they have such an understanding that they have the capacity to pray for them.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
That is very, and Jesus told us to do that. God told us to do that. Pray for your enemies. And I always, it's like John Wayne, you step back and you kind of wipe your nose off a little bit. You just have to think about that. But there is, when you reach that pinnacle of just going on faith, not belief, just going on faith, because he said that we should operate on faith. Now, Jesus did say, whomsoever believeth in him. So he did use the word believe in that context. So,
or it was translated with that word.
Or is translated. So who knows what he really said. But be it as it may, that's a real, real cool thought, really. But I've prayed for others since I listen. And I remember you using the word Karen one time. It's got something to do with the general. I remember praying for her. I understand that she is on Balqui.
She's a general, yes, from Balqui.
She's a general.
Yeah.
Sure, yes, sir. Okay.
She's part of the fleet. She's part of Project Alliance.
Well, see, I've prayed for other people. For the general, I don't know that I'll ever meet any of these other people. But it's such a, it gives you such an exhilarating feeling by being able to do that.
Well, I assure you that there are people in other parts of the universe. This is not the only place. And as I often say, if this is the only place where there is intelligent life, then God, the Creator, really screwed up when he made mankind on planet Earth. You know, I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek.
No, I know God's got a humor, too.
I'll also say that, yes. That's my response when they ask me if I really feel that God has a sense of humor. And I say, yes, he created mankind. Of course he does.
He put them a lot of other places than just Earth. I tell you.
Well, Dr. Mike, we could go on and on, but we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. And, we can't announce at the moment when you'll be on the show next, but as soon as we know that, we'll share that with our listeners.
Had a wonderful time, Don. Good night.
All right. You have a good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Special thanks again to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.